Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of our society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, that they can't be fixed. Our mission is to know who is working against our interests, to understand how and why they're doing so, because exposing and condemning such schemes, it isn't hateful. It's the most caring thing we can do. In our concluding hour today, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the differences between God and the self-proclaimed Apostle Paul. Because ultimately, determining whether or not Paul was a false prophet exposes whether or not the religion that he founded is viable or if it is the plague of death. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Let's begin with the pair who fatally shot two Las Vegas police officers and one civilian before taking their own lives. They were married, and they were motivated by conspiracy theory and supremacist paraphernalia. They, like most who are similarly inclined, they were irrational. Why is it that you would take the lives of two lily-white police officers if you are a white supremacist? The identities of the suspects has not been officially released, but they were in their 20s. Investigation has reported that they found swastika symbols during a search of their apartment. You know, if you were to search my study, you'd find a copy of Mein Kampf. That doesn't, however, mean that I'm a neo-Nazi. In fact, I have my copy of Mein Kampf because I like to understand the mindset of adversarial regimes. You know, it's not that I have an affinity for Mein Kampf. In fact, I'm disgusted by it. But the same reason I have probably 20 Qurans surrounding me in my study. I want to know what motivates Muslims. I want to understand the religion. And the best way to do that is to read their foundational texts. So, while they may well have been white supremacists, and it appears that they were, the fact that such documentation was found in their apartment doesn't necessarily make it so. However, a neighbor described the couple as being militant in the sense that they were very aggressive in their discussions. They discussed leading violent revolutions, about killing individuals. They specifically said they wanted to kill police officers and then go underground. Another neighbor said that the man who lived in the apartment also talked about conspiracy theories, and that he dressed in camouflage to work, and that even as Peter Pan, to work as a street performer. I guess he was into fantasy characters. He thought that the couple had used methamphetamines. One of the suspects yelled, "This is a revolution." And they said that just before they took each other's lives. You know, if you want to wallow in conspiracy theories, that's your choice. That, so long as, you know, I'm not associated with them and you don't try to convince me of them, I'm okay with that. You know, it's just your choice. You want to use methamphetamines? You want to use mind-altering drugs? That's also your choice. I think both are silly. But, you know, we ought to have free will. You know, you want to be a Christian? That ought to be your choice. But you ought to know that it's a foolish one. You know, white supremacy, neo-Nazism, is grotesquely immoral. It's a land of fantasy and make-believe. It wasn't a better period. It was a murderous period. The Nazis were savages. It was one of the most despicable times in human history. If you're so lost that you revel in it because you either don't like Jews, you don't like people from other races, you think that you're somehow superior because of your race, well, that's your option. But please, keep your stupidity to yourself. Revolution indeed. You're going to start a revolution by killing two cops, an innocent person, and then taking your own life? Do you really suspect that there are other people out there that are stupid enough, that are as irrational as you? And we'll see that as, wow, look at those guys. They're really heroes. I'm going to follow their example. Well, there was another shooting this past week. It occurred in a Seattle college. Evidently, the shooter had a fascination with the Columbine High School shootings and wanted to shoot up a school. Aaron Ibarra, who was just 26 years old, was responsible for killing one person and leaving two wounded. He, like almost all of the mass murdering, stabbing, and shooter types, had a history of mental illness. He thought that he was routinely out of his mind. It's very much like the young man that stabbed three people and shot three others in the Santa Barbara area around, the residential community of Isla Vista around the University of California, Santa Barbara. He was delusional. He had mental issues. Now, mental derangement, it's not something new. Been around for a very long time. Most mentally ill people aren't vicious. They aren't murderous. Many need our sympathy. Many need and would benefit from treatment. But the fact is that psychology and psychiatrists aren't particularly adept at treating mental illness. Our first approach is to drug the mentally ill, to provide antidepressants for them because they're most often frustrated with the world and depressed. Many are given anti-pain medication to dull their senses. Now, the medications very often fail. In fact, many times they are counterproductive. They're grossly overprescribed. And the notion that the mental health community, those doctors and psychologists, that they somehow understand the human nature and the human psyche and can use therapy to rid those who are somehow stricken with mental illness with a way that they can cope in society. It's not something that we should be comfortable with because there is a common denominator in most of the mass shootings. Most mass shootings, at least those that are promoted by lone individuals, as was this one in Seattle, are individuals who are being treated for mental illness, just as the case was in Isla Vista, in Santa Barbara area. Or they have been prescribed, or they are going on and off the various prescription drugs to deal with mental illness. I know that there are lots of people who will blame the guns, but it's not always guns. It's very often knives. And it's not the implement. It's the mindset that goes awry. And we really ought to be dealing with the mindset. Now, I would tell you, and this is speculation on my part, but while mental illness has always been with us, the thing that has not always been with us is political correctness. And the problem of political correctness, particularly among those who do not have their full mental faculties, is that political correctness robs a person of good judgment. It causes them to be incapable of determining whether or not an action is good or bad, appropriate or inappropriate. And if you combine this with a mental incapacitation or even a drug that dulls a person's ability to exercise good judgment, then you're more likely to have that person lash out violently. And so if I were to pin the tail on the donkey in this case, to come to the common denominator in all of these mass murder shooter episodes of lone wolves, it would be political correctness and how it has so incapacitated a generation's ability to exercise good judgment, to be moral, to be civil. There was another attempted murder that garnered a lot of news a week ago. I didn't comment on it at the time. I don't have much to say about it even now. But it was the ghoulish stabbing of a young girl that was perpetrated by two classmates. And the two girls who perpetrated the stabbing were devotees of a website called that has a character called Slender Man. And as I understand it, this is revolves around an artificial make-believe world where Slender Man wants his devotees to prove their merit by committing murder. And evidently, these two girls were so into the website and so detached from reality, so incapable of exercising good judgment, that they believed that the best approach for them was to do as Slender Man had asked. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have Nick on the line. Nick, what have you got to share with us this fine day?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, the news about Obama exchanging Taliban, you know, I think maybe you're not giving to Obama enough credit for it. Just hypothetical. You know, okay. The military possessed technologies that are way beyond what they're showing to us right now.
Correct.
I mean, couldn't they just tag those Taliban leaders like cows at the farm with GPS, some sort, mini version of GPS kind of device, biological stuff, and, just track where they go and what do they do, and, then take them out with drones by and along with the others around them then? I mean,
That's
completely possible.
First of all, I don't know, Nick, that it's possible. It's not the reason that I'm have condemned Obama. I mean, it would be way too generous to say that I'm not giving him enough credit. I'm not giving any credit. I'm giving him nothing but blame. I mean, the whole thing has been a series of lies. You don't pretend that a man's a prisoner of war when he's not. He's simply a captive. He's a captive because of his own actions. He was a deserter. You can't trade anybody for him when you've already traded six American lives to try to recapture him. And he's lied about all of it.
But if you destroy just these fundamentalist, then you can actually benefit, well, he can benefit from Islam further down the road, you know, spread around the world even faster, even bigger, because not as many bad things happen come from those fundamentalists. Therefore, Islam is back to be a peaceful religion, as they think.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, the reality is that the guys that were let go out of Guantanamo, they were mass murderers. Now, I don't have a problem with them being let go. They didn't commit acts of mass murder in our country. I don't like the idea of the United States playing the world's police and judicial system. We can't do a good enough job of on our own. We ought not be trying to do it for the world. But I do know that when you negotiate with the likes of the Taliban and you trade captives with the Taliban, that what you're going to do is make your people more vulnerable, because they'll kidnap more individuals. As for the idea that we can track them, I'm certain that's not the case. In fact, the deciding moment for Obama to pull the trigger on what he had to know was going to blow up in his face was when the Emir of Qatar, who I think is the most dangerous man in the world today, said that he would keep a keen eye on them, that he would watch over them in Qatar. And that was, according to the Obama administration, that was the moment they decided, okay, if for a year's time the Qatari emir watches over these five men, then I'll pull the trigger. So he was actually admitting that we didn't have any ability to watch over them. Now, if you go to the next extreme to say, okay, it was all part of a long-range plan that we get our guy back, and then we track these five individuals, and then we take them out with American drones. If you engage, it's one thing to engage and negotiate with despicable people like the Taliban, which simply, of course, encourages them to do more of this kind of behavior. But then if you do a deal and you get your guy back, and then you go and murder those you exchanged from him, organizations like this will almost universally take it out on the rest of the world by killing hundreds, if not thousands, of people in retaliation. So that would be hugely unproductive.
They already do. Plus, not killing them Obama says that they promised that they will not go back to to commit all the terrorist acts, but they probably will go back, and therefore there will be a reason to kill them.
Yes, they absolutely will go back. They are who they are. They are not going to change, and their word means nothing because they are Muslims. We'll continue this conversation with Nick after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Minutes. We're having a conversation with Nick about the five Taliban mass murderers being released to free an American deserter. There's one aspect of this, Nick, and then there's another thing I'd like to talk to you about that's related to it, but one aspect of this that I think is important. Let's say that the Obama administration did not kill these Taliban officers, even though they knew that they had been responsible for the murder of over 1,000 Shia pilgrims. That knowing that they'd murdered the Shia pilgrims, they still chose not to kill them in U.S. custody. They chose to provide them food and lodging. No freedom, but food and lodging. Now, if they go back and they become and they join in the Taliban again, why would we now be justified in killing them when we weren't justified in killing them after they had massacred 1,000 Shia pilgrims?
You call them massacres, but yet in previous programs you said that they suspect them. They don't know.
Yeah, the term, it is term, the what I didn't say is that I suspect them. They, the military's release to the media was that they suspect, that they were. The most of those who do a more thorough, honest job of investigation, say that these guys know, in fact, that these guys were the, were in those positions, the leadership positions of the Taliban when the Taliban decided that it would take the lives of 1,000 Shia pilgrims. So they were clearly in the leadership positions and and in control of the actions of the Taliban at the time that those 1,000 people were killed, and they were on site. So whether or not they...
I don't know, but I just hope that we possess some technology that allows us to tag them like animals and to be able to track them and then take out... Actually, it's for the benefit of Islam, so I suppose I shouldn't hope for that, but...
Yeah, well, it's possible that we have them tagged. I don't know how effective the tagging the systems are. You know, the tags, you know, for a dog. I have a dog sitting here beside me. She has a radio identification tag, but her tag can only be read by certain machines within a few feet of her. You know, it doesn't broadcast sufficiently for it to be read by a satellite or
from what I heard, the military allows us to see whatever technologies they possess only if they 25 years ahead of this technology at the moment.
Yeah. It's you know, the amount of money that the U.S. government spends in spying and in the military is $1 trillion a year. Now, you'd think that for $1 trillion a year, you'd get some pretty spiffy technology. So I'm not going to, I wouldn't doubt at all that we have technologies to track personal movements. In this particular case, I do not think it is as effective as you are suggesting. Otherwise, Obama is lying when he said that the deciding moment for him is during a conversation with the Emir of Qatar, where the Emir said, "Yeah, I will keep an eye on them for you. We will watch them in our, you know, in our little country."
Would that surprise you that he's lying, or what?
No, it would not surprise me he's lying. I am, by the way, convinced because of their own conversations, their own admissions, that the that this was part of the Obama Afghanistan Enough project. And the project has been well communicated, particularly by Hillary Clinton, whereby, in fact, it's even, there's excerpts of it in her recently released book, or soon to be released book.
Yeah, I remember you have said all about it, very detailed. Her trying to restart the negotiations with the Taliban. So it's possible. But what was that another thing that you wanted to tell me? Because I have a few more things. If there is no one else waiting.
Oh yeah, when you're dealing with someone like the Taliban, and you know that in fact they are encouraged by their religion to lie, why would a proclamation from them of "I won't go back to being a terrorist for the Taliban"? Why would that hold any water? Why would you even care if you got that kind of a promise, knowing that their religion tells them not to honor such promises?
Unless one of those two theories that we're entertaining over here are correct, which is them trying to restart the negotiations with the Taliban, or maybe that they do actually possess that technology and they are able to track those guys and kill them all.
Okay. All right. Let's say that they're now going to be homing pigeons for the Taliban. They're going to take this to their senior staff of the Taliban, and that we're going to use drones to take them out. Do you think that that Americans sending drones to kill senior members of the Taliban is more likely to get the Taliban to surrender and say, okay, we don't want any more part of Afghanistan. We're just going to live our lives as happy little Muslims someplace else and not reengage? Or is it going to be more
totally
resolute?
I totally understand that it won't stop them. Plus, if you kill once, then another ones will just step in and will take their place in no time. Well,
yes.
The reason why are they going to kill them is just the same reason that Obama killed Osama bin Laden. They're going to use it to help the Hillary rotten Clinton to win the election.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they don't really fight Islam. They're just looking forward to win the next election, that's all.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, one other issue that I think is fascinating is that right now in Germany, they're doing I don't know what the right term is, but they've got Bo Bergdahl there, and they expect to spend 2 weeks kind of indoctrinating him so that when he emerges, he's prepared to deal with the press. My sense is that they're concocting their story. Like they had a release that says Bo Bergdahl now claims that he was tortured after he tried to escape and was held in a cage by the Taliban. And so they're concocting a story that makes this guy, who is clearly not a hero and not worth sacrificing American lives. How can we create a story? I'm sure it's what they're working on. How can we create a story that has you captured by the Taliban while on guard duty, as opposed to simply dropping your weapon and walking off in a drunken stupor, and therefore being captured by the Taliban? How can we recreate this story to make what we did look appropriate, as opposed to inappropriate? Matter of fact, Nick, there's one aspect of this that I think I'm just fascinated by is this whole notion of how the Obama administration is trying to recraft this story. And every time that they speak about it, their comment is, you know, well, Americans never leave an American behind. It's kind of the unwritten rule of the U.S. Army. So he's speaking as the, you know, the commander in chief and the heroism of Americans. We never leave a soldier behind.
I have few YouTube videos in Russian, of course, that showing me the opposite and showing me. There was actually some of the Russian soldiers that were amazed with. Not amazed in a good way, but in a bad way, of the American military and how they actually do an opposite, which is what they claim not to do, which is they leave their own behind.
Yeah, and what's also interesting, and let's just say that, for example, that what he was saying was, you know, this is part of American heroism. What it would be inferring is that at any cost, it's appropriate to get an American back at any cost. And when you divorce yourself of the cost of achieving something that you want, then you're looking at it in isolation, and you're not capable of exercising good judgment. And that's the problem with this line. You know, even if it was true, which it's not,
as long
it's isolated.
The masses, and you know it, and I know that it's not true, but the masses do not. And if you convince the masses, you win the election. And if you win the election, you can just keep on doing what you're doing.
So, well, I mean, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's that simple.
Yeah, and it is though what I consider to be one of the great crimes that's being perpetrated on Americans today that they are themselves playing a role in, which is the inability to attach the consequence to a goal. You know, it's like them saying, we had to go and declare war against Japan and sacrifice 300,000 more American lives to punish the Japanese because they bombed Pearl Harbor, and you say, but look at the consequence. Was it really worth sacrificing 300,000 lives to avenge the deaths of 3,000? You know, or you look at 9/11 and say, well, we had to invade Afghanistan because somebody living in Afghanistan orchestrated something that killed 3,000 Americans, even though it's not true. You say, okay, so you think it's moral to sacrifice 10,000 American lives and a million non-American lives to avenge the death of 3,000?
How are you not getting tired to talk about every day about the stupidity in in the office, in the politics.
Yeah, you know, it does grow worrisome. You know,
it's just boring.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem, of course, is that there just aren't any other voices that are willing to talk about the ubiquitous stupidity on both sides of the aisle in politics or that are willing to expose the military as being counterproductive. There's no one else out there that's willing to expose the stupidity of religion. And so, while it is repetitive, because every day there's a new example, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the Ukraine or Afghanistan or the Taliban negotiations, every day there's a new example, a new proof that we are not doing the right things for the right reasons. Chattering this, we have Nick with us, and I know, Nick, you have other questions. Still play, stay with us here, but I'm going to bring Glenn on, who has been on hold here for a while, who I'm sure has a comment on one of the stories that we have discussed thus far. Hello, Glenn. You've also got Nick live with us.
Right. Hi, Nick. And Nick, I think maybe you saw the Daniel Craig version as opposed to the David Niven version of Casino Royale, one time too many. that's the one in which Daniel Craig got chipped, you know, with an active RFID tracking chip. And those things are, what's different from between those and like the chip you might have in your dog or cat is that it actively transmits. The chips, the passive chips only, you know, emit current when scanned. The active ones are powered by galvanic skin currents and have a history of causing cancer and stuff, which I find kind of interesting because in the Book of Revelation it says that those who take the mark of the beast that break out in a nasty sore, which kind of makes me wonder about that. But anyway, also, I mean, even if they did stuff like that, like, first of all, they're probably going to report that they
have
the chip unless it, and in which case they may surgically remove it or just lop off the appendage where the chip is. So, and the other thing is that even if they are around their leaders, you're not going to know. You're just going to know where they are. You're not going to know that they're in the presence of a leadership. So that's not going to help necessarily help you call in a drone strike.
Well, that's where the military intelligence comes to. And because, I mean, you don't have to know who they run, you just need to know the route, how much time they spend in that or this particular time. I mean, you can figure the things out just by knowing the location.
Yeah. By the way, Glenn, in this particular case, I'm going to actually, I don't think we have the technology that's advanced as perhaps is being indicated. If you think, put yourself in Obama's position, where everything is done for spectacle. He loves to kill people with his drones. If in fact he could get those guys to leave their voluntary confinement in Qatar and to go back into Pakistan or Afghanistan, and he could then go kill them with their drones, man, he comes across as, you see, this was my plan the whole time. I wanted to use these guys to seek the homing pigeons and look how smart I am. I outsmarted the rest of you. And that's why I asked Nick that I said, okay, let's say that he really is, that really was his plan. A, then how in the world are you going to go negotiate with the Taliban going forward if that's your goal? And B, wouldn't the net result of that be a more infuriated enemy that is more vicious rather than a less infuriated enemy that is less vicious?
Well, the ironic thing is...
Here's why, because so far the Taliban did not even want to renegotiate with them up until now. Who told you that they're going to negotiate the peace or whatever, peace with honor, after this? So they're not going to negotiate. There's no reasoning. But when Obama will start taking out their leaders, maybe the next leaders will become a little bit more, and then maybe they will lie just so then Obama could save his butt.
Yeah,
First
of all, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing here. The Obama administration and Hillary's camp are at war with each other. They don't like each other. As a matter of fact, the reason that Obama wiretapped the Associated Press was to find out who in his administration was more loyal to Hillary and the Clinton camp than to his own. So he's certainly not interested in helping Hillary. He'll give it lip service once he's out of office and she runs for office, but that's about it. The issue is the Taliban has had a reason to negotiate the release of their five senior officers. That was the whole reason they were holding Bo Bergdahl, was to trade him. So they had an incentive to do that. They have absolutely no incentive whatsoever to negotiate a peace with ardor for the American troops to withdraw, because they gain by having America there. They're legitimized by having the infidels in Afghanistan, and it gives them a target to go hunt.
Right. So they will not be negotiating peace in any time or any soon.
That is correct. That is correct.
But if you threaten their leaders with, possible death and not letting them know how that death is going to occur, when and how, and with which help, with whose help, they might change their mind and lie just enough so then Obama could save his story, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly possible. I think it's unlikely, because we've been hunting them and killing them now for a long time, and nothing has changed. You know, Islam is Islam, will always be Islam. We'll be back after the news.